Good afternoon, New York, and the rest of our listeners around the globe. My name is June Stoyer, and I'm the host of the Organic Bee Radio Show. Our podcast is available on iTunes, Zune, and you can also visit our website at www.theorganicbee.com. If you have any questions for our guests, there are many ways you can contact the show. You can post a question on our wall on Facebook, Skype us, send us a tweet on Twitter to @TheOrganicView, or you can contact me directly at June Stoyer. If you'd like to be on the show or would like to find out about sponsorship opportunities, please contact us at questions@TheOrganicView.com. On today's show, I will be joined by Tibor Szabo, who's the Vice President of the Ontario Beekeepers Association, and we're going to be talking about the recent developments in the efforts to ban neonicotinoids in Canada. So I would like to welcome to the show Mr. Tibor Szabo. Good afternoon, Tibor, and welcome back to the show.
Good afternoon, June.
Tibor, can you share with our audience a little bit about yourself and also your experience as a beekeeper?
Well, I'm a third-generation beekeeper. I produce queen bees mainly. My business is in Guelph, Ontario. I learned from my father. He was a research scientist with Ag Canada for his career with bees. And his father kept bees in Hungary. And we also produce nucleus colonies and beehives for sale to beekeepers as well.
Thank you. Now, before we begin to discuss your efforts in Canada, can you share with our audience, especially for people that are just tuning in that are not familiar with what neonicotinoids are, can you explain what a neonicotinoid is and why are they such a big concern to beekeepers?
A neonicotinoid is a group of insecticides. The insecticides are systemic, which means they become part of the plant, and all parts of the plant become poisonous. They are persistent and they're water-soluble, so they last a long time, comparatively speaking, with traditional insecticides. They last a long time in the environment and in the plant, causing the plant to be poisonous to insects for many months, and in some cases possibly years for trees. And they're water-soluble, so the plant picks them up with water, but also it can become mobile in the environment through leaching and get into groundwater, river water, things like that. The half-life on, say, clothianidin, for instance, is up to 3 years, which means that's the period of time it takes for half the chemical to break down. But the end of the story is not there, because the breakdown products, or what's known as metabolites, are also highly toxic to insects. And it's unknown how long metabolites of these compounds take to break down. So they're persistent, they're water-soluble, they're systemic, and not selective. They kill all insects. The repeated use of neonicotinoids would mean it would build up in the environment that they're used in. They're used as seed coat insecticides, so they're put on the seed at the time of planting, and it makes the plant poisonous to insects for the period of months that the crop is being grown. And a small percentage of the insecticide enters the plant. The rest of it enters the environment. And so there's a lot of what's called drift, where the target plant doesn't actually receive very much of the insecticide, but the environment receives it instead. And it's extremely toxic to insects and bees as well. For instance, clothianidin is toxic, acutely toxic to bees in the amount of about 3/1000000ths of a gram, which means 1 gram is enough toxin to kill about 25 metric tons of bees. The industry that produces them claim that not very much is used on the field, so they're safer because of that, but they are hypertoxic, so not very much is needed when you only need 1 gram to kill 25 metric tons. You need to compare apples to apples, and so that it's pervasive in the environment. It sticks around, and a lot of plants around the fields can pick it up with the roots. The weeds in the field will pick it up because of its persistence. The next spring, when the dandelions grow in the field, the corn where it's used, the nectar and pollen has shown to be toxic, already before the new crop is even planted. So it's a big concern for beekeepers and really everybody, because it affects all insects and will dramatically impact pollinators in the area of the usage of these chemicals.
Thank you. In regards to commercial beekeepers, can you just share with our audience approximately how many of the commercial beekeepers have at this point gone out of business because of the use of these systemic pesticides?
Well, I can't say that. I wouldn't know the answer to that. I think the situation in the States may be a little bit more advanced. The chemicals were registered for use there longer than in Canada. In Ontario, I don't know of anybody that's actually gone out of business from the use of them. They were only identified positively last year as what was causing widespread bee deaths. The Pest Management and Regulatory Agency that regulates chemicals in Canada, agricultural chemicals, their testing showed that 80% of the bee yards that were impacted or were believed to be impacted and had acute deaths of their bees tested positive for BC treatment chemicals. And that's when beekeepers became aware of where the issue was coming from. This year has been even worse than last year as far as numbers of incidents and numbers of colonies affected. The testing is still coming in, but its preliminary results are showing a very high percentage, higher than last year, are testing positive for the chemical from the incident reports that are coming in. It would involve thousands of colonies. Last year it was somewhere in the neighborhood of 4,000 or 5,000 colonies that were actually documented, and this year the number is very close to that already, and reports are still coming in. It's a lot of acute incidents happen right at the time of planting because the chemical in the environment is high at that time, but they continue throughout the season as different plants bloom or bees change their water source and become affected or implicated again. So it's still ongoing, and we're waiting for this year's results, which hopefully will come out in early fall.
Well, here in the United States, we've had a number of documented incidents, such as the case with Jim Doan in New York, who lost his business, as well as many others. In the United States, clearly, it seems to be a very big concern as well, because more and more operations are sustaining tremendous losses. At this particular point, where is Canada at as far as enforcing a ban on neonicotinoids?
Well, the class of chemicals, neonicotinoids, are currently under review by the Pest Management Regulatory Agency. They were placed under review when the incident reports started coming in last year and were identified as the death of bees caused from the chemicals that are used on seed treatments. Review, unfortunately, was scheduled to be not complete until 2018, which is similar to the EPA's deadline for their review. The Premier of Ontario, Catherine Wayne, has sent a letter to Health Canada, which is in charge of the Pest Management Regulatory Agency, and the Agriculture Canada ministers, asking for the review date to be moved up significantly, which is very positive for beekeepers, because by 2018 there'll be many beekeepers out of business. She also created a working group, which is a group of individuals that are made up from different companies. The government has representatives, beekeepers are on that, and it's a group that's supposed to come up with recommendations to the government on what needs to be done. There's different agendas at the table. Quebec has had a working group for 4 years. There has been no really big news coming from that group yet, but we're looking at it as a positive step. We don't want this group to be used as a method of delay or delay tactics from the chemical industry, because we need action soon. We need to talk to get action, but we don't want anything to be used as a stall tactic. the more time that goes by, the more chemical gets into the environment and the more bees die. We want the fact that these chemicals were released without, with incomplete science showing any type of bee safety. We want that to be first and foremost in this whole review process.
So that's another similarity in Canada that is true with the United States. Basically, the chemicals are granted registration for the product without having undergone all of the proper procedures and fulfilled the requirements.
It's a similarity right across the planet, but the simple fact is you cannot feed these chemicals to bees and have anything good result. So if you can't do that, then it's better to have nothing and promise you might get it. That was a long time ago that they were conditionally registered, 2004 for clothianidin, 2007 for thymethoxin, and there's been no bee safety data officially submitted, well, simply because you can't do it. So we want to have that fact considered in the review process. It's kind of a backwards process where a chemical is released, and then we're supposed to see what happens after. Well, we know what happens. We see thousands of dead bee colonies testing positive for these chemicals, which are incredibly toxic to bees. And so we want to make sure that we want to make sure science is certainly a big part of the equation. But the fact that science was not used for the registration of these chemicals when it comes to bee safety. We don't want the fact that there was no science to register them, any type of an excuse to delay banning them. In fact, in my opinion, it should be a number one reason to ban these immediately because there's no bee safety data shown and plenty of observational science showing that this stuff is absolutely devastating to all pollinators in the areas that it's used.
There's also been quite a bit of peer-reviewed published research that has been put out to the public. The industry keeps saying that there isn't enough science, but yet there's plenty of science. They're just not, it's not coming from scientists that are basically working for them. But in any event, at this particular point, you actually have a petition that you would like to have the public help you with. So could you share that with our audience?
Yes, the Ontario Beekeepers Association has started a petition. We're petitioning the Ontario government to take action and ban the use of these bee-killing pesticides in Ontario to save our bees. You can find the petition at the Ontario Beekeepers Association website. So I encourage everybody that's concerned about this to go to the Ontario Beekeepers Association website and sign the petition. It will help the bees in Ontario. We need the support of the public. They are the biggest impacted group of all. A lot of food that we eat is completely responsible, the responsibility of bees pollinating the flowers initially. And also a lot of our wild plants and trees all depend and have evolved to depend on insect pollination. We have to take this very seriously. It's getting into the water and affecting aquatic organisms. Also, some people are drinking it in their water. It's being found in groundwater in some places. Really, there's a lot of testing that needs to continue to find out how much it has impacted the environment and how much it's permeated into the environment. In Quebec, they have done testing on rivers, and they found neonic insecticide in all of them. All 16 that they tested, they found neonic levels in all 16 rivers.
Wow.
So, and it's just the first time they've tested. The preliminary results from PMRA's testing, I'm not really prepared to discuss too much, but in general, I can let you know that they tested some surface water in fields where bees drink.
And before you continue, can you just share with our audience what PMRA is?
PMRA, the Pest Management Regulatory Agency. They are the people that regulate the chemicals, and they also will do incident reporting. If you have a pesticide incident, say you're a farmer or anybody really, and there's something happens and something gets poisoned by pesticides, or you suspect this to be the case, you would call the PMRA and they would possibly come out and take some samples and determine what was the chemical that did the killing. And in our case, well, the bees were impacted and the chemical was clothianidin and possibly thymethoxam. In Quebec it was, which are the two commonly used seed treatment insecticides. And those are water-soluble, highly water-soluble. We suspected our bees were being poisoned just from drinking water because they died when they were foraging heavily for water. And so we asked for sampling to be done. Last year, they did not sample the water that the bees are drinking from in the fields. This year, they did. And it's the preliminary results is just that it's a very concerning level. So I can't give you any numbers, but it's not surprising that it's there. So the observations of beekeepers are now being backed up with data that comes from the testing results.
Thank you. And folks, I just want to point out one thing. You don't have to live in Canada in order to participate in this petition. So basically, he's appealing to anybody that is out there. It doesn't matter what country you live in. It's just to show that people are concerned, people don't want these chemicals, and what happens in Canada can happen anywhere. So, Tibor, I just want to say thank you so much for coming back on the show today to give us the latest update on what's going on in your neck of the woods, so to speak. And by all means, folks, please visit the Ontario Beekeepers Association's website, and also the petition will be available on theorganicview.com. Tibor, thanks again, and I hope to have you come back with some very positive news.
Thank you, June.
And folks, thank you for tuning in. This has been June Stoyer with the Organic View Radio Show. Thanks for tuning in.